Warning, this game's setting revolves around an active Middle East combat zone and contains references to extreme violence, graphic content, and other mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
The Rancor's Brothel presents...
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all these crazy questions they're asking me? The craziest body that could ever be. So turn on the lights, cause I don't wanna see. My atonement has come. My atonement has come. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Iconoclast, a campaign of horrors modern and ancient.
Choking from the smell of stale perfume and the cigarette you're smoking. That scared me half to death. Open up the window, let me catch my breath. My atonement has come. My atonement has come.
So, our lovely friends here, our lovely Spec Ops team, have murdered 27 people.
Captain Dan helped.
Captain Dan did help. Captain Dan killed a few of them. Mostly, I must say, what is really impressive to me was continuing to force Daniel to roll stealth rolls, and he kept making them over and over and over again.
I was surprised as anyone.
God damn. Taking cover, you know? Using grenades? Very impressive. So anyway, at this point, you guys have wiped that shit out. The characters' motivations for the Spec Op team, they're going to start looting. We can definitely play some of that if you guys want to roleplay it. Obviously, I think for the task force, you're more concerned about what's going on with Captain Dan and Hastings inside the vault.
There's at least one thing that we briefly discussed that I think some of the special operators might care about.
Yes.
Yeah. We can cut to that later if you want to.
Yeah, that's fine. I feel like the interest of the episode is probably on the creepy vault. So we'll go to the creepy vault and then find a good way to cut away back to the special operators.
Gotcha.
That reminds me, I forgot to look at one very important detail. I'm sure I won't make it up and fuck everything up later. Jeff.
Okay, look up your detail.
Can somebody look up what time midday prayers would be? That was the thing that I need to Google. I know, but I don't remember what time it was. I don't know if it was like 10, 11 noon, something to that effect.
Get back on the old.
We were shy.
No, FBI watch list.
We were late for.
Okay.
If you're listening to us at any of those special AT&T towers around the country, please send me an email. I'd love to know what lists we're on.
So if we're, I mean, closest thing to midday is 1:52 p.m.
Well, we infiltrated at, what was it?
At night. So we waited.
11? No. I'm just curious. What time in Islam? Because they pray like six times a day.
Yeah, 1:52 p.m.
It's after the sun passes its zenith. Mm-hmm. And so that may vary.
Came after that last prayer.
Based on the times that are listed.
Yeah, like.
Okay, so it looks like
1251, 105 is what.
So like if we were doing right now, it'd be 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 1:52, 5:40. Okay, that timeline doesn't make sense anyway, but okay. I'll make it work. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, these are the times in this township.
Right. That's why I'm...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm curious as to what the times would be relative to...
Well, we knew that sunset was, we said 6:30, I think. We looked that up over there, which was...
It would be 12:14 p.m. for midday.
Okay. Roughly noon. So midday prayers are roughly noon. That's all I really need to know. I know that according to the religion, it probably changes with the seasons and blah, blah, blah. Just ballpark, it's after it passes its zenith, so noon, roughly. Okay. Perfect. Jeff.
Yeah.
You guys got into the vault, into the alcove, through the sub door. I like the visual of it pushing creepily shut and you guys in the darkness, but you're basically in the darkness. The sounds of the gunfire don't completely cease, but you pretty much are plunged into pitch blackness and almost silence compared to where you're at. Your ears are probably ringing from the gunshots and everything else, even though you both are, you know, combat oriented. It's disorienting. And like I said, you feel you hear a rush of wind, like
a rush of wind or a breeze.
You hear...
How close to Cold Dead Hand are we talking?
You hear a seeping of wind. I would say...
Descriptive and unhelpful.
Yep. You're welcome. Like, that could... If you were to put into three words what I am... Like, Cody, descriptive, but unhelpful.
It's fair. Yeah.
You know what? Jeff's going to edit this, and this is going to end up being a fucking mug that I get for Christmas.
No, it needs to be a sign that we hang over his door at the office.
That's true. I mean, I can do that too.
Descriptive, but unhelpful. Yeah, I would
T-shirt.
Say...
T-shirt.
Floor mat to do at the front door. Just so people know what they're getting into.
Welcome to the Grady's, where Cody's descriptive, but unhelpful.
Watch out, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, I love when they come over. Tell me the cool shit about how your religion thought that the world was going to end in 1925. So, you don't feel it, but you hear it. It's soft, but present in a more or less sound dead stone tomb.
Right.
It's kind of buzzy, like the wings of little insects.
Not yet. Spoilers. What would you like to do, Jeff?
Captain Dan is going to set up something at the vault door so that if it opens, this thing is going to get knocked over and we're going to hear it.
There wouldn't be anything on hand, so it had to be some sort of personal item that he would reasonably be carrying.
He would wedge a knife in the door.
Sure, wedge a knife. Spare ammo clip. I think any of those are reasonable. Set it, prop it up on top of the spinny wheel. Yeah, no, that's reasonable. Okay.
And they would proceed on in.
It's dark as fuck, but I imagine
they have
at least one flashlight, if not two.
Yeah.
So you could probably get the fun, you know, sort of horror movie thing where you've clicked on maybe it's attached to the under the gun barrel or something and you're moving forward. It is very much a concrete bunker. You stepped in the alcove, which came out of the pool. You went through the door and there's barely a place for the two of them to stand before it takes an immediate, I believe it's right turn. It's an immediately left turn
towards
the house. Yeah. The light shine is enough that you can see it goes 10, 15 feet, 20 feet, enough you think to probably maybe go a little farther than that, depending on the movements of everything. But it goes far enough that you get the sense, just oriented wise, that you're moving under the house. And the light shines through and you can see that there is an octagonal room.
Jeff Bott says that it is pronounced octagonal
in front of you. I'm giving you the Troy thing where I'm not going to put you anywhere you don't want to be. So,
Captain Dan will advance in, but he is checking for any kind of booby traps that may have been left.
Sure. Makes total sense. As you're sweeping kind of the room and looking up and down, no tripwires, no nothing. You're not seeing anything. There's some sand on the floor. Not a lot. Probably stuff that just blew in.
Is there any remains here that we would have seen of people in the video?
I would say probably, because I'm pretty sure the video footage saw some people die in this room.
Yes.
I would say you would expect that. I don't know where you're sweeping the light first, since at the moment you only have one source of light.
There would be two.
Okay.
Hastings would have one.
Theoretically, yes, you can. I don't know that you would still smell corpses at this point. It's been a little while.
Well, I wasn't sure how much would be left.
That is also a fair point. We can talk about that as well. There are some corpses. I think that they're an appropriate amount, probably somewhere between 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Something like that.
At the very least, skeletal remains.
Correct. You are seeing remains. It is more than just skeletons, but it is...
It's juicy skeletons.
Yeah. Juicy, chunked, missing piece skeleton.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you open into an octagonal room...
Octagonal.
It is about 10 meters across and full of all kinds of shit. As you're sweeping the room, you do see some bodies. You see a 2-meter iron cage bolted into the concrete floor. Inside is a pedestal upon which is a large bronze amphora. There are shelves and bookcases covering the walls. You can see statues, tablets, and a bunch of hand-bound, handwritten books or journals or something to that effect. You know, something that reads very much as modern amongst everything else. You see a 10 wooden footlockers, and you see a workbench with lamps and a journal open on the workbench with a rolling office chair sat at the workbench.
Okay. Any light sources in here?
I imagine that there are likely... There are probably some either lanterns. I did just say lamp, right? Yeah, a workbench with lamps on it. So they're probably oil lamps at the least.
Okay, because they had to bring some sort of light source down here or a cord down here.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
There may be some modern lights laying on the floor or some big
mag. They'll try and get the room lit.
Yeah, you can take a few minutes.
Yeah.
You do hear muffled. There's kind of a muffled noise. You're like, was that an explosion? Generally above you.
Oh yeah, I forgot that you did get in. Well, yeah.
You kind of hear some tap, 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 and then you hear kind of a pump.
little spread.
Yeah.
some stuff comes right in. The fuck is that?
You hear not
e and what the fuck? There's some, you set up some oil lamps and light some oil lamps and you hear kind of a pump, pump from off in that direction. But yeah, no, you can get the room lit. No problem.
Yeah. Hastings is going to start trying to document the tablets.
Okay. There are statues and tablets actually visible out on the walls, like on shelving. Are you looking at tablets right in front of you, or are you opening everything up and looking for tablets? Because there are some things that are in footlockers. There are some things like, are you digging or going for what's right obvious?
She will try and figure out what it is that's on the wall in front of her and make sure it's not something she needs.
Okay. What are your languages again?
All the important ones.
Yeah, it sounds good. She's here. I'm pretty sure it's... I know you have Arabic. I believe you have Akkadian, but I don't know what else you have.
I think she's the one with like four.
Hebrew, Sumerian, Ancient Aramaic, Arabic, and Akkadian.
Okay, perfect. So the shelf is full of what you can easily identify as ancient Babylonian and Assyrian statues. And you can see that there are hundreds of clay tablets. And you can tell that they are arranged very precisely and that they are labeled and cataloged. You can see Akkadian. You can see Assyrian Aramaic. And you can see Sumerian. Int by five. Ooh.
Failed.
Roll one for Captain Dan.
I think that'll actually hit.
I would hope so.
I would too. Not by a whole lot, but yes.
Really? Poor God, Captain he's Dan. Dumb as shit.
Less than 20.
That's a fucking 28 over here on an int by five. God damn. Captain Dan needs to be played a little bit more like Forrest Gump, apparently. It becomes obvious as you're looking at it, there are very precise and specific gaps in between tablets, as if there's a dividing wall or something else. With some discussion between the two of you, it makes sense that this is like a catalog system and those gaps are left where specific
tiles are missing.
Correct.
Okay. He knows what he doesn't have.
Correct.
Okay.
He does. She has anthropology.
Yes.
No, she does not. Mm. She has archaeology. She does not have anthropology.
She gets it on the occult.
Okay. Oh yeah. She does have an 80 in occult.
She knows. You, at a quick glance, you are seeing that it is incredibly well cataloged, just like what Hastings would see in a museum. Mm-hmm. There are notes specifically in Assyrian Aramaic, which tells you something as well. I have to find exactly where I can find that out. And what you're noticing is that these artifacts, including both the statues and the tablets, they remind me of, fuck, what movie is that? It'll come to me in a second.
Die Hard.
Yes.
The Mummy.
When Hans Gruber is thrown off the top of the tower, it reminds me of that.
No, what the?
The Lego Movie.
No.
There are a lot of good references.
Yeah, The fucking movie where the girl's possessed.
The Exorcist?
Yeah, that one. I kept wanting to say The Poltergeist. I'm like, that's not the right fucking movie.
How do you forget The Exorcist?
I wanted the movie where she screams, "Your brother sucks cocks in hell."
Green pea soup.
Yeah. You know how in the beginning of that, they're looking at the artifacts and the statues and they're talking about like, oh, this is to Ishtar. And oh, this is like, it becomes very obvious based on the occult that you're seeing things that involve offerings of prayers to gods, placations of demons, and both the issuing of and protection from curses. This is all ritual magic, air quotes, from Babylon and Assyria.
Okay.
And like I said, it's written in several different languages. Assyrian Aramaic stands out a little bit to you.
Old magic.
It is... I have to find it. It may not be right here. There it is. Because Assyrian Aramaic is actually a Mesopotamian it's lingua franca, right? Is that how that's spelled?
A lingua what?
It's kind of like, if there are any linguists here, I know that there are at least two or three listeners who are going to listen to this and correct me when I'm wrong.
If you'd like to correct Grady, please message us on Facebook anytime.
But think of like Creole, like it's a hodgepodge.
Oh, it's got some bastardization.
It's a bastardization. If you look up lingua franca, there's a specific
Spanglish.
It's a cultural thing, but it's a very specific language that was spoken or written during the 5th through 9th centuries. So it's an odd, very specific time frame. And it's kind of an oddity, not like crazy odd, but it's unusual enough.
It sticks out.
Correct. It's also
Zydeco music.
It is Zydeco music.
God damn it. I hate myself.
Okay, keep going. I've decided to change. The whisper noise is now an accordion.
It's Weird Al whispering behind an accordion.
A creepy undead cultist Weird Al.
Yeah, I'm just Weird Al.
I have inspiration for a new bard character.
Right? That would be pretty tight.
But what you notice is like the shelves are very labeled and there are notes. Some of the notes are written in Assyrian Aramaic. So that kind of gives you that. You know, it would take you hours, if not longer, to dig through them. But I at least want to give you at a glance what you're seeing on the shelf.
Okay. How many of these journals and things are we seeing laying around?
So if you start looking at the books as opposed to the tablets, because, 10 meters is a good size room, and this room is full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing are... at first glance, they appear to be transcriptions of they appear to be textual transcriptions bound in a folio. So almost as if you would take an ancient document, transcribe it and bind it up. That's what you see. I don't know how deep you want to go, but that's what you're seeing.
Also, weren't the tablets from Baghdad that we thought were important in Akkadian, not the one that he's
Assyrian described? Aramaic.
Yeah.
Are you saying the notes on the shelves are Assyrian Aramaic?
Yes.
Not the tablets.
Correct.
Okay.
The tablets also have some Assyrian Aramaic as well.
Oh, okay.
Some of the tags are also in Akkadian. Some of the tags are in Sumerian.
Okay.
Not the shelving and organization of this is very specific, and it becomes incredibly obvious that it would be difficult to navigate this if you aren't an expert in the field. And that seems intentional.
Right. Okay. So Hastings fits that description.
Yes.
So Hastings would know where to start.
On what? With books, the tablets, the...
Yes.
There's a bench, there's cases, there's the amphora, there's lots.
What's the thing that's left open on the table?
Okay, we'll go to that. It says the workbench holds light sources, which you already know, some battery-powered electric lamps, and some backup oil lamps. On the desk, you see a magnifying glass, a satellite phone, and an open folio.
Yeah, what's the folio that's open?
The folio is written in Assyrian Aramaic. Okay. It's written with an ink pen. This is not a text in Assyrian Aramaic. These are notes in Assyrian Aramaic. It appears to be a journal.
Take it.
Okay. Look at it do you want to look at it anymore or do you just take it?
How well can she read it, and is this going to take up a bunch of time?
No, because at a glance, it's like as if my fucking composition notebook is laying out there, for lack of a better term.
Right.
You know, so you can look at it and understand that whoever's writing in Assyrian Aramaic is not someone from the 5th to 9th century. It's someone who is hiding what they're doing in a language. So you can parse it very quickly.
Cool.
The words that are the last words written on it say the Americans must not fail. That's the last thing written in the book when you pick it up. Americans is actually written phonetically, which would draw your attention because something from the 5th to 9th century would not have the word Americans.
Right.
I have a weird question. The organization of the tablets, right, in different languages, would it potentially, because of the, this might just sound ridiculous, but the organization of it, would it potentially be like a timeline of a story passed down and translated in language of like, so like, here's the ancient version of this story. Here's the language. The
next generation version.
Correct.
It's possible. He would know enough to know that these languages were spoken at very different times. So there is a timeline here. Without some intense study, it's going to be hard to know that for sure. That's definitely an option.
Got you.
So you're taking that.
Yes.
As you pick up that book and you shove it in your pack, it's a decent sized composition notebook. It's not small. Something rattles that was underneath the folio, and you can see that there is a letter opener rolling around underneath it.
Anything special about it?
It looks razor sharp, and it is silver. It's got an inscription in Arabic.
What's it say?
Actually, Jeff, let me credit you since you asked. Roll me a D100.
79.
You got it. How about we roll a sand?
Nope.
Man, what do I want to do?
Helps if I get out a pencil.
Tasting shanks, Lieutenant Dan. With the knife.
Maybe.
In the library.
All right. Okay. We'll call it 4, Jeff.
Which
was max. It's not an Arabic word, but it's a word you recognize.
Okay.
As a thought.
Really?
Yep. And you have an occult of 80, so I'm going to assume that you know what the fuck as a thought is, or at least some versions of it.
Yeah.
Isn't Azathoth like the gaping maw in space, kind of?
Yeah. Yep, the flutes and the pipes.
Yeah.
The blind mad god, something like that. Yeah.
It just consumes. That makes sense now a little bit.
So congratulations.
Yeah, cool.
There are also, since you're there and are kind of looking around, you can see that there are underneath the workbench, you can see there's like a rolled up bedroll and some jugs of what appear to be some sort of liquid and like canned food. It looks like somebody could camp out in this room for a significant amount of time.
Okay.
Very sort of bomb sheltery.
Okay, so is this thing sealable from the inside? So that the outside can't get in here?
I'm just going to raise my hand to bring up a thought that I had earlier. We closed the door on the way out in the beginning. There's a breeze in here. We don't know how the thing got outside. So my assumption is that there's either one of two possibilities. The least likely of the two is that there is a secret entrance into the home. And the other one is that the thing bored its way out of the fucking pit.
Well, the thing is, we can hear a breeze. We can't feel a breeze.
So then maybe you're not standing in the place where the breeze is crossing?
Could be, but we don't know.
I'm going to assume some of this table talk, which Spencer, feel free to throw in ideas here.
Yeah, you got anything? Of course.
I don't want you all to feel like you're not,
We're engaged. On comms.
Yeah, okay.
Works really well in sealed bomb shelters.
I'm in the room. What are you talking about? There's body cam footage.
If it is a bomb shelter, if it was intended to be there, you would need
an air escape.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to assume even Captain Dan would know this. If you point out, hey, there's food here, like what's going on? Like people intended to stay here. Maybe this is a bomb shelter. You're talking about this. You look up and the dome of the building goes up to a very tiny air hole with some sort of piping that leads upward.
Okay.
You do not, however, feel a breeze. Even if that thought strikes you and you're like, well, let's go stand under the thing. You do not feel the breeze.
Okay.
So there you go. If you're familiar with Azathoth, that's what the letter opener said, Daniel. If not, you probably don't want to Google it.
I'm sorry.
The letter opener that I found in Arabic says Azathoth.
Azathoth. What's the name of reference to? I'm sorry. I'm not paid.
A mad, blind elder god in space that likes to consume all.
Lovely. You familiar with you're familiar with the Green Lanterns? You know how a planet is a Green Lantern?
Yeah.
It's like that, but Cthulhu.
Nice.
It is, if you follow the Derleth sort of cosmology, Azathoth is the highest of the elder gods, I think.
So this god of war that we've been trying to track down, is it like a hierarchy? Like it would be...
See, when I started hearing about this, I didn't think Azathoth. I really thought Black Wind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Jeff doesn't know how the two are connected. That I don't know enough about the mythology.
Well, I mean, with our character's occult knowledge, with the person that you have,
that's why she lost the sand roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because she recognized the name
Azathoth.
Yeah, okay.
Azathoth is the, I think it's called the blind mad god. The cosmology is it's this being, this force of chaos and madness that sort of exists in the universe that like, what am I trying to think of? Think Galactus, you know what I mean? Going around and just causing people to go fucking crazy. And there are servants and there are pipers and he holds court.
Azathoth, sometimes called the blind idiot god, the nuclear chaos. the demon Sultan.
Yeah, so it's bad.
Offspring, Nyarlathotep.
If you follow Durleth. Gotta remember, most of that is not a Lovecraft thing. If we're going to get into some semantics, Lovecraft wrote them. Durleth applied them as a cosmology.
Gotcha.
Durleth, or you, Azathoth and all these others were written. Durleth came along later and made it. Them. Yeah, he's the one who did like what he's the one. He's the Edith Hamilton of the word Cthulhu mythos never was written by Lovecraft. That's right. A Durleth invention.
There's definitely a lot of depictions of like Hydra style, like space dune worms in an amalgamation of like just consumption,
like consumer of worlds type deal.
Except bigger than worlds.
Yeah.
There's also kind of like gaping maul, like tentacled beholder style artwork as well.
Yeah. I found one that breaks down him as a Chad, which is fun. Yeah, the Chad as a Soth.
Yeah. Kind of the Giga Chad. Yeah. He's up there in the cosmology. The cosmology that Durleth put on sort of makes Cthulhu look like a punk bitch compared to some of these others. So anyway, that's what
he's got. So many names.
Yeah.
The Abyssal Idiot, the Lord of All, him in the Gulf, the Deep Dark, the Cold One, Sleeping Chaos, Supreme Lord and Creator of All Things, the Blind Dreamer, the King of All. The Primordial Demurge? I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Demurge.
So yeah, this is why the D4 sand loss.
Gotcha.
So what do you want to look at? What do you want to look at, Jeff?
We came here for the tablets. Let's try and document as many of those as we can.
So the tablets that are out. The tablets that are out on the shelf. Looking at them, you've got, I don't know, 4 or 5 dozen. You can start to translate, but it will take you.
Not looking to translate. We're digitally documenting them.
Oh, okay. So you're going to try and take pictures.
Yes.
Okay. So you could set Captain Dan on that if you want. You
know, okay.
Set out, take a picture. I like that idea, actually. It's a good idea. What else do you want to look at?
Hastings will start going through some of the translations.
Okay.
Just to see what they are. Are they translations of the tablets? Are they...
As you open up the first one. So I imagine these are bound, right? Because folios are oversized and a lot of times they're kind of...
No, folios are this big.
Depends on the... No, because the Shakespeare stuff is folios and those were big because they defined them as, I think they're big. I think they're like oversized, like kind of like oversized legal documents and stuff.
No, I don't think so. No, I guess it is 8.5 by 13. I thought they were bigger or smaller than legal that. Sorry.
Size. Yeah, I was just saying, I think they're like legal document size roughly.
Because you're
seeing, so like I said, it's awkward to hold and like there's like as you realize they're like tied together because some of them are old. As you start to untie them and get a hold of them, papers are falling off of them that are attached to the exterior of the folios. Normally,
Hastings would be way more careful than that.
Well, I know that. I'm saying, but I'm getting to the part that's weird.
Okay,
if you had a book in whatever language, right, and there's a piece of paper on top of that, the instinct would be that is a translation of the book or a transcription of the book, right? Maybe it's my notes or whatever. As you pick it up and you start to look at it, all of those are written in Assyrian Aramaic that are attached to the outside. The folios themselves are written in different languages, but the things on the outside are in Assyrian Aramaic, which is weird because why would you write it in Assyrian Aramaic? Not only that, they're not transcriptions, they're contextualized notes.
Yeah, it's the Cliff's Notes.
It's like this details protection. Is this related to this tablet? This could be connected to this. Can I use this way? You know, you're picking up what you're expecting to be like a recipe card, and it's not. It's a sticky note on the outside.
I can't think of the name of the type of book. I remember my mom got me a Bible and this to go along with it that would reference this back to this and
correct.
Yeah, I can't think of what that's called.
But yeah, it's almost like a companion to the folio. It's not a translation.
Yeah.
So you can't just take the piece of paper on the top and understand what the folio contains. The folio you're bouncing back and forth. He was referencing
the other older documents. So he's probably, that's why it's in Assyrian or whatever language it was.
And you're realizing since it's a lingua franca, since it's especially a rare
concordance.
Concordance.
Yep. Yeah. And you're starting to realize that some of the books that are contained here are more or less identical in size and composition to dozens of these other books stacked on or around or in between these folios. There are probably 150 books on these shelves you're looking at alone. But the books, the more books, the more notebooks, less the folios, look almost identical to the one you picked up.
Okay. All right. Besides these folios, the workbench, what else is there in here that we need to quantify or catalog?
So you've looked at the texts, you've seen the books. I guess you would kind of you would put it together. It'd be hard for you to not put it together because she works in this. You get the sense that the folios again are. I don't want to do this. Make a roll. End by five roll.
31.
Okay, we'll just do it that way. This is a highly detailed research, ancient research. You've got that already, but you're starting to get a better sense of what it is. You picked up his journal, and what you can see is that he was meticulous in terms of documentation. And all this documentation is written specifically to prevent almost anyone who walks in here from understanding what's going on. I think that's very obvious.
Yes,
but he's connecting the tablets and the folios into he's connecting the tablets and folios in a way that makes it very hard to contextualize. But you get the sense that he's looking for something and interrelating these things that go back to these placations to demons, or these, for lack of a better term, spells, or these histories. And he's connecting them. And the books on the shelves are dozens and dozens and dozens of journals. So it's almost, for lack of a better term, it's his lab notes. What you're getting on the outside of the folios are the sticky notes. You're getting the original documents in terms of the tablets, and then you're getting detailed journals from the books themselves. Does that all make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if all of that was clear.
No, I'm getting that.
The only thing left, if you've got all that in your mind and all of that makes sense, the only thing left would be the 10-foot lockers.
Okay, so real quick, the folios that you were talking about,
yeah,
those are his notes, or those are what his notes are referencing.
Those are what his notes are referencing. So you have tablets and statues.
Yeah.
You have folios.
Folios and then books.
You have books.
Okay, cool.
The books are his journals.
Yes, got that.
Okay. And there are a lot of journals.
Right.
Like in the six dozen number of journals.
Yeah. Footlockers.
They're arranged wooden footlockers, kind of like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark. You can pop it open, you know, and that.
Going to pop it open.
The footlocker that you pop open is full of about 75 clay tablets. Roll Acadian.
No.
They're in Acadian.
Yeah.
And they're fucking heavy as shit. And you even see that there are some notebooks tucked in there, too. This motherfucker had notes everywhere.
What else did I fail?
It's the only one I remember so far. And no, you failed you failed an int by five, which you can't tick.
I can tick it if I want.
I was going to say, so you say, son of a bitch.
What do I get with a 40 in sculpture?
It's an Akkadian sculpture. You can tell by how it looks.
I mean, they're pre-Islamic. They're religious in nature. You're seeing gods and goddesses and totems and figures that would both be Sumerian, Babylonian, Assyrian. Any one of these could be a crown jewel of some display in a museum. Like, this is some incredibly rare shit.
Anything that sticks out is out of place.
No, it all is falling in the same time frame. What's odd here is the overlapping circles of very specific ancient textual stuff. But otherwise, anything in this could be a collection in the British Museum or in the Smithsonian or, you know, anywhere on Earth.
Okay. Are any of the figurines or figures wearing a mask?
No.
Okay.
I will also check out the amphora, see if there's anything else that I needed that I couldn't see in the video.
The iron cage bolted to the concrete floor in the middle of the room. It measures 2 meters per side. There was an ancient key lock on the door. I don't remember how you guys unlocked it or if you blasted it away. I don't remember. I think you guys forced it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we bolt cutted it.
So it's smashed. It is a large bronze amphora. It's sitting on, you know, I don't want to say a small plinth because it's a big amphora, but it's slightly raised off the floor. Again, you can see the Akkadian inscription, which, you know, it says the father of war waits, hungry to lick the skin from the world. War his endless gift, blood his endless price, free him and pay. Got to go back to see if there's other things that I can give you, because I think there is. Alertness, Jeff. Go there. Let's try that.
It's a 27. One of them will get that.
Who do you want to get it?
It would have to be Captain Dan.
Who's looking at the amphora?
Hastings.
Okay. The wind sound is stronger as you get closer to the amphora.
Oh, interesting.
Large bronze amphora, massive, looks unbelievably heavy. But that's basically all you get, unless you want to actually, like, again, I don't want to troll you there. Go over, touch it, feel it.
Oh no, she's going over to examine it as thoroughly as she can.
Okay. It is not bolted to the floor in any way, but touching it, you realize that it's like a pinto sitting there. It is incredibly heavy. You can't budge it at all.
Right. An amphora is usually held.
Correct. There are like arms up near the top on each side.
Okay.
It is open. You definitely hear a whistling sound coming out of the top of the amphora.
Yeah, she's totally going to pull something over and climb up and look inside.
It's black on the inside.
She'll shine a light down in there.
It's black on the inside.
Like, I can't see the bottom, or it's a black bottom.
Roll sand.
Got that one.
This is an ancient bag of holding
that whistles.
Oh no, wait, you passed, right?
Passed, yes.
We'll call it 2, which is good, because otherwise this could have been, unfortunately, that would have been a very good die roll. Bronze, presuming it's all made of bronze, should reflect.
Yeah,
you see blackness.
I'm gonna drop a rock.
Interesting.
Clip a bullet out of the clip.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of something to drop into it. Yeah.
Just acne. that was a great one. All I heard is the anvil.
She will pull some stray bit of junk out of her pocket, a pen or something like that, mm-hmm. and drop it in it.
Okay, can I have another sand roll, please?
Playing with fire.
Pass.
Shit, this don't
just barely, over a bit. But I pass.
That's another one.
Ugh.
So you shine your light down, right? And you let go of this pin and you watch it because you got light on it, right?
Yeah.
How far do you think that flashlight shines?
What do you mean?
If I were to just have it shining into the darkness.
It's the new, it's that new high vis. Have you seen those flashlights that are like spotlights?
Oh, yeah.
150 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not quite that big. 50,000 lumens. I mean, it's an LCD or an LED flashlight.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's going to go 50 feet, 100 feet, 150 feet. Yeah. So you drop, right? And you watch that pen fall, and you watch that pen fall until it's no longer illuminated.
Okay.
And you watch it fall for a long fucking time.
It's like you're standing at the top of a water slide that's been in a line, and you spit over the side. Never done that every time I'm on one.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah, no, you'd have lost your shit if you hadn't passed that.
Yeah.
So as he's taking pictures in the corner of the tablets and trying to put them back, and you are dropping this pin and then watching it fall, I'll go back to you guys because I think it's a good point to cut back for suspense's sake. What was it that you guys wanted to do?
Let's find some shit. I mean, we just 10,000 isn't enough for what we just did. I bet there's some stuff hiding here that we can find.
Sure. Where you want to go?
Hey, but first we should probably make sure no one else shows up to this party.
The last guy that we popped that was trying to make the phone call.
Yeah.
We want to check the phone, see if he got that call off.
The phone is laying, you know, in the hallway covered in blood. The phone is functional. It's not currently on. It's not currently connected to a call.
Can I look at that call?
Just go to recent and see how long the last phone call lasted.
About 2.5 minutes.
And how long ago was that phone call placed?
About 5 minutes ago.
Okay, we're on the clock, boys.
Somebody about here better ought to go tell our compadres that we're going to have some company.
I'm going to leave some presents. Anyone want to come with me, set some chargers?
I was going to say, go mine the gate.
You got one on the gate still.
I do.
What charges are left?
Great question.
The car blew up.
Just the gate.
Was it just the two?
I think it's the gate. I think.
Okay. Yeah.
And I gave you back one. I don't remember if you used it.
Where'd the VIP say they were going? I can't remember if we told them what we were doing.
Nope, not really. You guys,
seriously?
Captain Dan and Hastings saw the opportunity to jump on in there.
I mean, we're in communication with them, right?
You tried?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Egghead, you there?
Let's keep that cinematically not working because I think that's the most fun.
Yep. They are in a concrete bunker.
They are in a concrete bunker.
I mean, I would know their last known location because they came to the pool.
Correct. You would know saw them there some minutes ago.
Yeah. I know Dan was there and that
correct.
Hastings was behind the wall.
Correct.
So I would just work my way back that direction.
It's going to take some time, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since you were the last one to see him, why don't you try to find them and inform them?
Yep.
Me and you can do perimeter and
yep.
Maybe we'll find some extra goodies here to cash in on.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me.
At the very least, searching. You could pick up used hardware.
We should also figure out who these fuckers are. I wonder if we insert some bodies. See, that's a little metagamey because they wouldn't give a shit.
We talked to them about
taking an automatic.
We at least talked to them about taking pictures.
Yes.
Yes. Dead jihadis. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Take some pictures.
Sure. I don't think that's a bad idea. I don't think that's well out of the, well out of the range. But I mean, you guys are spec ops. You guys have been in the area for a number of years. I mean, you shot a bunch of, ISIL was full of a bunch of untrained guys who spooked relatively easily and weren't necessarily trained soldiers. I mean, you guys mopped the floor with them because they had no tactics. They had no cool. They didn't expect to be attacked. So you would know that these are ISIL mooks, basically.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's a solid goddamn presumption.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take some pics.
And there's also a decent chance the guy with the phone calling big man might be mid-level mook.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There wouldn't be, I don't think that they necessarily wore any insignia, so you wouldn't necessarily know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it stands to reason that if this was the last guy to show up, it's possible that he was mid-level or could have just been the last guy alive and heard all of his friends die within about a minute and a half and decide to call.
Right. Yeah. Take pics of guys with enough face left to potentially identify.
Roger.
Okay.
I'll work my way towards.
Okay. So which was your spec operator again?
Mai Shink.
Were you Mai? I thought you were Mai. Oh, okay. So Mai is working back that direction. Back to the vault.
Sure.
I just kind of imagine Hastings shaking a little bit. She's
as it cuts back from
black. Dude, come check this out.
Let's throw some more shit in here.
Spare poor Captain Dan.
She would probably compartmentalize that and walk away from there because she's got a depersonalization disorder already. Like that did not happen and walk away.
You know when you like bang on something metallic that's kind of like you'll get that warbled like boom.
Yeah.
You think if you hit that, it would just fucking echo for eternity?
I don't know. When I looked down there, could I see the sides or did it just open into black?
You see black.
Yeah. Okay. So no, I don't think it would.
You never know.
You ever looked on the other side of a Stargate, Jeff? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside. Big inside.
No, she's totally going and focusing on collecting journals now.
You realize that the wind, the whistling, the whatever, as you're standing over, is being pushed out of the amphora. Uh-huh. You're feeling positive air pressure from in there.
Gotcha.
Just thought. Uh-huh. Might be a good idea to put the lid back on it in case there's anything
Where
else.
Where is the lid?
Yeah. It's back at base.
Since, Azathoth is kind of like interdimensional. Just thought.
Yeah.
Just ultimate goal wise, Let's keep that son of a bitch in there. Yeah.
Put it on the to-do list.
Yeah. Close the gate to the Elder God.
Really makes Jeff plan about blowing it up come back into an interesting perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. Let's not do that. Another just kind of off the wall thought, and maybe we'll get to this eventually, but like his last note was hoping the Americans pulled it off, right?
Right.
Like which Americans was he in
contact
with? The
Americans cannot fail was what was written on the last page.
Right. So he knows a group of Americans' plans. It certainly isn't our group of Americans.
No, it's probably the Delta Green boys that he called.
The cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why what was their plan and why didn't the cowboy tell Major Olson?
He was going there to collect this stuff.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
And to, I don't know, he what's his name? At the Air Force Base.
Sloan
said that he was trying to get this stuff out of here, but I don't think he said anything else about why Rassam wanted the cowboys to come in here and collect this stuff other than to get it away from the conflict.
Yep.
I wonder if he wanted it away from the conflict because of the fact that it's the father of war. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it's feeding off the chaos. That's apparent.
So from the time that this happened, from the time that this was released to now, are we seeing drastic escalation of conflict?
That'd be hard to quantify because you're in an active war zone. And I mean, the coalition forces are approaching Mosul. They're testing at this point in history, they're testing the perimeter for the eventual recapture of Mosul because they know that that's going to be an unbelievable, bloody, long-term conflict. So you're seeing as the war progressed, as they fought ISIL, they would fight, ISIL would retreat. They would fight, ISIL would retreat. They would fight, ISIL would retreat. There's nowhere left to go. Mosul is a stronghold. It's sort of the capital of ISIL in terms of this. So now you're fighting entrenched warfare in a heavily populated urban area. So nobody's like moving on Mosul. Nothing is extremely violent, but you are getting a lot of reports of they moved in here to take this area. They moved in here. There was a car bombing. There was this, there was that. I think it'd be hard to quantify escalation like as an obvious thing in the last couple weeks.
Okay.
So not that you know, nothing that sticks out.
We did have reports, though, of the incidents that have been reported that we think are tied to this entity moving along the river, though. Let's not forget that. Moving away from Mosul.
Okay.
I think there were talks of like bodies in the river, I believe was kind of what you got, in or around the river.
Downstream. So not attacks happening on the river. Then.
If I remember correctly, I think you got the bodies were found.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that you, I think that I'd be interested if Jeff, when he goes back to edit, I think they found bodies and maybe your presumption is that they were attacked there. I don't know that that's directly connected.
I thought we were tracking though, the incidents location wise.
You were. You went and talked to, I think, some refugees who told you stories of this happening.
There was also a tank team taken out like a bridge.
Tanks.
Correct. Because they were flayed alive inside the tank.
Yeah.
That you are attributing to this fucking thing.
Yeah. Okay. Do I need to get out of the vault and radio back to the home team and say, get that cap over here now?
Sure. I would let you do that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Hastings thinks we need to put it on, given her knowledge of the occult and what she just saw.
What she just saw. Given yes.
I'd say she made that call. The name Azathoth and then looking into the maw.
It's just blackness. You're pretty far into the maw already.
Okay. I'm going to leave Captain Dan taking pictures. Hastings is going to go out.
Sure.
Radio back.
As you step out, you bump into one of the spec operators looking for you.
She shoots her.
Be fucking awesome. Boom! The fuck was that? Hastings just fucking shame. Oh, you're going with surprise. I thought you were just executing her so she didn't go in there.
No.
Oh, shit.
Huh. I didn't notice it before. Bunker in the pool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. How's the team? Is everybody okay?
We're all alive. A couple of them are bloody.
Do I need to get something faster than the trucks to get out of here?
There was a phone call made. So the last guy we put down was calling somebody.
Jeff already knew this, but I like how Jeff took a moment to process this and roll his eyes in character as Hastings.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeff didn't remember. How old are you again?
Not that old.
not so old he's not going to play it off.
Yeah.
Old enough to still care that we noticed.
Yeah. So whatever you need to do, probably sooner rather than later, good idea. Because I don't think that we're going to be able to take out. I mean, shit, we killed 30.
Okay.
God, what? What would they do?
Yeah, let's start making some big fucking mess. Idea roll for her.
What's that?
Not her Hastings, her my.
3255.
You remember who that guy was calling too?
Yeah, the Al important guy.
Al Rabini.
That one. Al Rabini, that name ring a bell to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's who he was calling.
Alertness roll, Spencer.
That's what who was calling?
The ISIL fighter that we killed, the last one on the phone. The guy I was telling you about why we might want to move quick, because they got a call out to somebody. Al Rabini, whoever the fuck that guy is.
Okay. Hang on. Jeff
1000% forgot.
The ISIL fighter was calling Al Rabini. Yes, Jeff forgot that.
Yeah, no, I knew when we didn't review that somebody would forget crucial information.
Oh, Hastings wasn't up there. It's okay.
Yeah, no. I'm not seeing
it. I knew guys. It was the big important guy that we cared about.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to roll. See, you didn't mention it, so I didn't know if you remembered or not. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that my character would say the name.
I think the Int by Five might be useful.
Got you.
Because you do know that they came here under certain pretenses. You don't know what it is, but you would think that would be important enough, mission critical enough to mention it.
Got it.
The last ISIL fighter that was shot was on the phone.
With our guy.
Not our.
Or no, sorry.
Al Rabini.
Okay. I'm not.
No. Not Rassam. Al Rabini is the head.
No, Al Rabini is our tech guy.
Did I say Al Rabini?
Yes. Okay. That's why I was
Al
so.
Jabari. Oh, okay.
I was so goddamn confused. Yeah.
We have Nasser, a traitor in our midst.
Nasser Al Rabini. No. Well, Al Jabari.
The guy
who sent the original team here.
You just completely fucked my head for a minute.
I passed my
intro. I'm gonna take a personal note on that, because that's a great way to do that in the future. It's because Cody, like, for whatever reason, I read well, but I read so fast, I read stupid. So, like, to me,
he reads like Dan writes.
Yeah, I know this character's here and this is this, and I know this character's this.
Other
this
Dan,
is
not you.
But Al Rabini and Al Jabari, as far as names, don't solidify since they're not real people.
Okay, so refresh for me. Who is Al Jabari?
He was the head of ISIL security team, or ISIL in the tree of.
We were trying to figure out if
important people,
if the main ISIL government knew about what was going on at Rassam's. Remember, because we had this security sect that Al Jabari is heading up.
But Al Jabari was, I believe, there was a confluence of the security versus like the religion.
Correct.
Yes.
He Ahmed Al Jabiri is part of Amn Al Dawla, which is counterintelligence.
Right.
He's security spy guy.
Okay. So are we worried about them breaking the Allied blockade and getting out here?
You would definitely know that it is not blockaded.
Mosul is not blockaded?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
There's a picket line and they're moving towards it, but it is not surrounded.
Okay. Shit.
I just passed Captain Dan over to Spencer. Did you make that alertness roll?
Sure did, boss.
So you're sitting there, you're taking a picture, you're putting the tablet back, taking a picture, putting the tablet back. Fuck, I chipped that one. Hopefully that's not a big deal. Take a picture, put it back. Because he would not know how to handle these.
No, not at all.
I definitely won't. Well, I love the idea of taking photos. I may or may not punish you for that later. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's how I roll. There's a loud whistling noise. Hmm. You notice it's like one of those earworms. Like, you kind of noticed it. And then you can hear some talking and you're trying to focus on what you're doing. But it's like that wind noise is louder.
Hmm. Interesting. Keep working.
Okay.
Okay. We got to get some shit out of here.
Okay.
We told you guys we were coming in to acquire some stuff. Yeah. I got 10-foot lockers in there. I need drug out.
Did we bring a flatbed? I know we got 3 vehicles.
Yeah.
How big are the foot lockers? Like, how big? Standard issue?
Foot locker is.
Yeah, I mean, I bet they're probably 5 feet long, 4.5, 5 feet long. Like,
that's not a foot locker.
I mean, put your hands out again.
Yeah, that's 3 feet. Actually, that's maybe 2.5.
70 clay tablets are not fitting in this.
Well, I'm just saying, I know a long box is 4 feet.
Yeah, long box is bigger.
There's one sitting right there. It is not bigger than what you just had your hands hold. I'm telling you, Foot Locker. Alexa, how long is the average Foot Locker?
It's going to give you the dimensions of the store. Foot
Action's larger store at 2,900.
Call it. You called it.
I got it. 2,900 square feet. Yeah. The average Foot Locker store is 2,900.
Go get one of your fucking boxes.
Thank you, Alexa.
It's very useful.
Eat dicks, Alexa.
I bet if I asked to buy one, it would give me exact measurements. Fucking asshole.
Depends on what size your foot is, what size shoe you should buy. Smart ass. He's going to Google exactly what he said and the same thing is going to come up.
An Army Foot Locker is 32 by 16 by 13.
So less than 3 feet.
Yeah. 2.5 feet, actually.
Well, it's called wait. Foot so locker Jeff was goes at the spot end of the on
bed, at the foot of the bed. Mm-hmm. So if you think of a standard day bed or
it's yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. A twin size bunk.
Twins.
Yeah.
So yeah.
3.5 feet, jackass. Nice try.
Fucking big though.
Yeah. And heavy. They're full of rocks.
Literal rocks.
Yeah. Okay, what do we have to get this stuff out of here?
What do you want?
I'd settle for a dolly.
It's a backhoe.
Ooh, there's a backhoe.
Let's try moving ancient stone tablets with a backhoe.
Just pull the trucks up, bottom of the wall. I'll pick some bitches up, tie it to the top of the trucks.
So, I mean, you can go down there and both lift up a foot locker.
Yeah.
Heavy as fuck. Like, and now you're thinking about getting it down the hallway, out the door.
Up the stairs.
Out of the pool, past the burning wreckage of the trucks.
No, over the wall.
All right. No, over the wall. That's easier. Let's think. Just deadlift it over the 6 foot wall.
Because Hastings would know. She would know that out of all this, looking at Rassam's life work here and everything that's been tied into security and protection and spells of old gods here, is there anything that she would think would be useful to take out of this room?
I mean,
his notes would, to me, seem like the most important thing to take. His impression of everything that he's collected.
So the 72 journals.
Yeah.
Because he said 6 dozen and I'm holding him to it. He can't conflate it any more than that.
The tablets in the foot lockers, I can't tell if I think they're what's not cataloged.
There are 10 foot lockers.
He obviously didn't have the answer.
Yeah.
We can all just hoof the old M4 and carry the abyss back to the lid.
We might need the backhoe for that.
Where'd the backhoe go?
You see a tray. Yeah.
What do you guys think? I apologize. Jeff is very tired.
I think she probably would have made the call first. Hastings.
The call back.
Back.
Yeah.
Relay what she found. Because, I mean, the rest of the team is literally waiting on pins and needles at this point.
Yeah.
And then I also think we just, we do some triage and shit's going to hit the fan soon. So we just start with what we think is most important, get it out, and then just be ready to burn out.
Would the special operators have enough knowledge of the region to know where potential reinforcements would be coming from?
Obviously it could be anywhere. Mosul makes the most sense.
And for the amount of time it would take to get a group of people ready. I mean, we're 90
not minutes to 2 hours.
I say we're not talking about your local fire truck station.
Correct. Yes.
Firehouse.
But assume that 10 to 15 minutes conservatively have already gone by. You're looking at probably 90 minutes to 2 hours.
That ain't the way to have fun, son. That ain't the way to have fun, son.
Our title track, Mama Told Me Not to Come, composed by friend of the podcast, Ian Shannon, with additional vocals by Lucas Patterson and Cody Grady. You can find more of Ian's work at sleepfortheweary.com. Like what you heard? Check out more episodes online at rancorsbrothel.com, YouTube, or anywhere you can download podcasts. Enjoy talking nerdy? Follow the podcast with other listeners on the Fans of the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.
Don't wanna see no more.